ready to rumble. Uh-huh. I will tell you, this speech tonight will be classic Donald J. Trump. It'll be funny. It'll be entertaining. There will be some shots fired tonight.
Pessoal. Yeah, folks. I mean, I don't even need to really talk about the assassination. So many people have spoken about it already. I mean, the assassination attempt, another one. So contrived, just so contrived. I mean, so many people have already looked at this. It happened a few days ago, so I don't really even need to bring you information on it. I mean, suffice to say, they knew it was going to happen. There's no way this guy just brought all these guns through. The place was so insecure. There's no way a guy who was planning to assassinate the president would have even chosen the press conference to do it, because Trump traditionally doesn't go to these things. And then suddenly everybody happened to be there. RFK was there, Kash Patel was there, even Erica Kirk was there. Everybody was there. And suddenly this happens. Of course it does. Same as Butler. Nobody ever covered Trump's press conferences or rallies before. And then suddenly in this podunk little town of Butler, Pennsylvania, you've got Sky News and CBS and BBC. Everybody was there. And of course there's an assassination attempt. I mean, the guy who did this, they took all his social media down. There was pictures of him with an IDF t-shirt on. The whole thing's pretty contrived, folks. And like I said, I don't even really need to talk about it. The most interesting thing about it really was the one guy who didn't really give a shit. He just kept eating through the event. Yeah, that was sort of interesting. And the way the press thought that the most responsible thing to do was to steal the champagne, as you do at these events, folks. When someone's attempting to shoot the president, the first thing you do is steal the wine. It's beyond a joke at this point, folks. It's like living in clown world. I know I've said it before, but it seriously is like clown world. And it's just getting more and more ludicrous. Trump has now announced, or yesterday he announced that he's ending Operation Epic Fury. That's it. It's all over. On day 59, of course, he said that. Because according to US law or the Constitution or whatever, you can only have a military excursion for 60 days before it's a war and it needs congressional approval. So he stopped Epic Fury on day 59. And what will happen now, of course, is that Israel will attack Iran again and Iran will respond, and of course the United States will say that Iran has broken the ceasefire and is forced to intervene again, and it will start a new operation with a new name, which will just be a continuation of the same war, because there's this massive build-up of troops happening there anyway, aircraft carriers and all sorts of shit, so it hasn't stopped. So they don't really intend it to stop, but it's served its purpose now anyway. It's broken down the supply chain. A lot of people haven't really noticed it yet. And I think that might be one of the plans here, is to withdraw from the war a little bit and make people think that, well, it's kind of over now and it's kind of gone away and it's kind of bordering on old news now, because they want you to focus on other things. See, it's achieved its goal. The goal was to shut down the world supply chain. And like I said, a lot of people haven't really noticed it yet, because the oil's still flowing, the ships are still arriving, but they've kind of arrived now and that's it. There's not going to be any more arriving. Even if they were to open the Straits of Hormuz today, it's still going to take a long time for these oil fields to get back up and running and for the supply chain to come back online. And they want the war out of the news at the point when the shortages start, then they can kind of shift the blame over to Iran and play their little games the way they're going to play them. And it's interesting, like I've mentioned before, I mean, it was great to see Iran responding to what Israel has been doing, in as much as the genocide of Gaza, the way it's been attacking Lebanon, everything that the state of Israel is doing. But I've mentioned that after all these hundreds of missile strikes, why is Tel Aviv still able to bomb anybody? Why is anything still standing in Tel Aviv? What's this really been about? It's been about shutting down the supply chain. And also behind it all is the move into the smart grid. And we've been talking about this for so long, folks. Like, I started warning you of the smart prison like back in 2010 in my film Transformation, when I said this is what they want to do. It's when I started warning people about social crediting and how they're digitizing everything. And this is really coming along in leaps and bounds behind everything that's happening with the war. And like I said, it's been great seeing Iran respond to some of the stuff that Israel's done, but all it's really done is shut down the supply chain. All it's really done is bomb energy infrastructure. I mean, even I had great hopes that it was going to collapse the state of Israel. Israel has sent out tentacles everywhere. It's now occupying large parts of Ukraine, buying up land in Patagonia, bought 40 Greek islands, setting up enclaves in upstate New York and in Lakewood, New Jersey. That's just the two that I know of. I'm sure there's others as well. There's probably enclaves in Florida. Who knows where they are? They want to take over Baja Peninsula here in Mexico. They want to take over islands in the Philippines. Very difficult for them to do there because of the legal structure of the Philippines. But they'll just simply marginalize the country if they don't comply. This is the way these people operate. So, I mean, I had great hopes that we were going to see the end of the state of Israel through all this. But all it really appears to have done is to end the supply chain. And like I said, now they're tending to move focus away from this. Because people got the attention span of a goldfish. They forget stuff from one week to the next. And as soon as their headlines change, they're going to stop thinking about the war. They're going, oh, that war, yeah, that's over. We destroyed Iran, so blah, 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 and whatever. Now the supply chains are all broken because the terrible Iranians bombed all the oil fields. Yeah, they can just play it that way. And that's going to be the main thing that happens. But like I said, through all this is the smart grid rolling out. And this is happening everywhere. Like even here in Mexico, they want people to deliver their biometrics in order to continue their cell phone accounts. So I don't know how long I'm going to be able to continue having a cell phone account, which means I won't be able to continue having WhatsApp and things like that. We'll have to find different ways of communicating. They're bringing biometrics in everywhere. And they're doing that here in Mexico. They want all cash to be gone from, I think, places like gas stations and supermarkets and things by 2027 as well. I may be wrong with the supermarkets, but gas stations and somewhere else. They want to phase out as much cash as possible because they want everybody controlled. And the United States is also doing this as well. The MAGA people, you should be happy about this. Trump is now bringing in a bill, or apparently he has signed an executive order, which will force Americans to give up their biometrics or lose their bank accounts.
Listen up. Single town in Pennsylvania of 7,000 planned so many data centers, it was equivalent of adding 51 Walmarts. Hyperscale data center in Utah expected to use more power than the entire state. This is getting out of control. Not only are we getting data centers put up everywhere, the U.S. Army deploys first Golden Dome Alps surveillance system to track drones over U.S. territory. Definitely not going to be used for a surveillance state. Speaking of surveillance state, Palantir Technologies is about to control the skies with AI. But this is the one I want to talk about. Trump executive order will force Americans to surrender biometric data or lose their bank accounts. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has confirmed that a Trump administration executive order requiring U.S. banks to verify citizenship for every customer, new and existing, is actively in process. This policy means millions of Americans will have no choice but to obtain and present a U.S. passport containing embedded biometric facial data, or risk being locked out of the banking system entirely. I don't know about y'all, but that's completely giving me Mark of the Beast vibes. Bessent argued banks must fully know your customer, including legal immigration status, and declare that undocumented immigrants don't have a right to be in the banking system. Like we've been saying for a while now, they are going to use this immigration thing to push a surveillance state. And guess what they're doing? They're using immigration to push a surveillance state. So this is about banks, right? We all know what smart dust is, right? It's a network of wireless microscopic sensors, and they range from a coin's size down to a grain of sand. They don't use plugs. They eat ambient energy, light, heat, or simple vibration. What is the goal of smart dust? It is a living digital skin that will be capable of sensing the world invisibly. Now let's look at this patent, smart dust usage. And it was filed by Wells Fargo, and it's active right now. Systems and methods that facilitate authenticating a user making a payment using microelectromechanical systems devices. They have sensors that collect data and transfer it to a base station device. They can collect sensor data, including biometric data, and capture images of the person. A lot of people want to deny that we're near tribulation because people have been saying this for decades. But when have we had technology like this? We haven't until now. No time in history have we had the technology that will be used for the Mark of the Beast system. Until now. It's time to wake up to the times we are in.
I'm sure this is what all the MAGA people wanted. Yeah, Trump is really your friend, folks. He really is. And all of this stuff that's happened with Trump recently, like, he's so unpopular because of this war. He's done so much damage. There's no way the United States could ever win. And like I said previously on other shows, I mean, so many things were done wrong in how this war with Iran was executed that there's no way that it wasn't done deliberately, because you cannot do this much wrong. It's like the perfect playbook of what not to do is exactly what they did. So this was very, very planned, and it's going to crash everything basically. And it already is. And Trump's really losing popularity because of this, and has been. So, of course, they have this fake assassination attempt, which was just so ridiculous again. And they're even using that now as saying, this is why we need the ballroom, you know, because so many people were up in arms about the money that was being spent on this ballroom, which was apparently like $400 million has been allotted for this ballroom. And, you know, you build a high-rise for $400 million. They're building a ballroom for $400 million. Of course, they have a bunker beneath it, blah, blah, blah. Interestingly, though, it's also designed to be pretty much an exact replica of the floor layout of the third temple that the Jews want to build on Temple Mount. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? So perhaps if something does happen with Israel, well, perhaps they can build their third temple there anyway, and they can use the ballroom as the third temple to anoint their Messiah should the need arise. Who knows where they're going with this shit, folks? It's crazy. And there was so much crazy stuff with that assassination. You saw that account that was opened by someone who apparently worked for NASA, and the only tweet that he ever made was the name of the shooter, which was, what, Cole Allen or something like that, Cole Allen. And he had some weird tripped out 3D design behind him, and when you superimpose Trump over the top of that design, you get that whole iconic pose with the arm up. And this post was made in 2023. This is crazy, this sort of stuff. I mean, it makes you wonder what the fuck is going on here with this matrix. I mean, whether we really literally are in a matrix, and it's heading more and more that way. Like, think about what they're doing with all this smart stuff. all the graphene oxide, the IoT, the Internet of Things, and then the IOB, the Internet of Bodies. We talked about this a couple of years ago, like back when I first came to Mexico, I was talking about all of this sort of stuff. Now what they're doing with all this digitizing of everything, they're bringing in digital shopping tags in shopping centers as well, like price tags on items in grocery stores are turning digital.
It's America's biggest retailers rolling out digital shelf price labels for all its stores by the end of the year. Walmart says that having digital price labels will help its store personnel do their jobs better and more effectively and ensure that prices are more uniform across different geographies. But the move is somewhat controversial, as some are worried that having the ability to quickly adapt price labels on the fly could lead to things like demand-based pricing that shifts prices for higher or lower depending on how changing dynamics happen for supply chains. Now, some lawmakers are already in the process of introducing legislation to ban the use of digital shelf labels or DSLs.
A lot of concern about this because obviously you can update your prices in real time. And there have already been reports that places that have these digital tags, the prices will change during the day when it's popular periods, when there's a lot of people in the store, like around lunchtime, the price tags will go up a few cents. And when the inventory gets low, the price will go higher. So they're adjusting these things in real time depending on what people are buying.
Dynamic pricing is absolutely insane. Lately, grocery stores have been using these digital price tags in order to show the price of their products. But because it's electronic and can be changed at any time, the prices are increasing throughout the day based off of demand. Apparently, the digital tags are connected to the Wi-Fi, which shares a network with the cash registers that are in front of the store, so they can quickly tell how much of a single product is being purchased, and are thus able to increase the prices based on how many items of a certain good that people are buying. People are noticing that soup cans, which are typically priced at about 90 cents, are increasing to about a dollar when it becomes the middle of the day. And if a certain flavor is being sold more than the rest, the prices can go up to $1.20 each by the end of day. And what's crazy is that dynamic pricing has been around for kind of a while now, but we may have just not noticed it. Obviously, Uber increases their prices based off of the time that you order your car, as well as Ticketmaster whenever a concert is being sold out very quickly. Oftentimes, the ticket prices will increase by 3 or 4 times the original cost. But it's just crazy to think that this is now happening with food, and it's probably going to make things significantly more expensive for the average customer.
That's kind of interesting as well. You know, being able to change things in real time while people are shopping. And there's another report that I saw of some of these tags having cameras in them as well. And it's suspected by someone that they will change the price depending on who is shopping.
This is really freaking me out. I'm in my grocery store and my girlfriend just told me about this conspiracy theory, and it's happening in my grocery store right now. I'm gonna show you like regular price tags. Okay, look, paper, regular price tags. This is how much everything is. And then you come over here and look at these ones. That's a camera right there. So they're replacing all of the paper ones with those digital ones that they can change automatically, but they have a camera. And so my girlfriend was telling me that they use the camera to use facial recognition, and they're gonna link you to like your Amazon account. They're gonna link you to everything online, like everything that you have, and they're gonna change the price of your groceries according to who you are, that they recognize by your face, by your Amazon, by your Facebook, by everything. So if they see your spending habits and that you're spending more, your groceries are going to be more expensive. And I'm freaked out that this is happening in my grocery store right now. And it's slow, like there's some sections that it still has the paper tag, but I'm here kind of late at night and they're I saw a lady switching it over. So what's going on in your grocery stores? Is this a conspiracy theory that is true? And if not, why do they have cameras?
I don't know whether I agree that they're gonna change the price depending on who is shopping. But when you get things like social crediting come into place and digital ID and carbon crediting and all of this sort of stuff come into place, it makes sense for them to have a camera on the shopping tag, because if you have exceeded your daily carbon allowance or something, you won't even have a price tag. It'll simply say forbidden or off limits or whatever. Because soon you won't have checkouts. You'll have your digital phone and you'll scan the item and then it will take it out in credits and you'll do it all yourself. You just go in there with a basket, you'll pick up your items, you'll scan it with your phone, put it in your basket and walk out. You might even get to a point where it just picks up on your phone's number as you walk into the store and you just pick stuff up and put it in the basket and, you know, walk out. But there'll be items there that it'll recognize your face. If you've exceeded your carbon credits or you're someone who's blacklisted, then there's a camera on there and the tag will simply become inoperative. And if you pick that item up and try to walk out of the store with it, there'll probably be some sort of alert go off. This is the way they're running it, folks. And like I've said, this gets everybody into this whole digital reality. It immerses them in this before they even know it. And they're talking about how soon, because fuel's going to be so scarce that only the elite will be able to travel, and poorer people such as you or I will only be able to travel virtually from our own lounge rooms.
There's going to be people of means who are going to travel, and then there's going to be people maybe who are of lesser means who might actually be able to use an Oculus or a Magic Leap or some other kind of device to travel to the same place but from their own couch. But in many ways, it's actually going to create even more distance between those two people, that psychologically, and I think that we've experienced this through social media, in many ways it's brought people closer in certain ways, but actually created this remarkable divide, because it's even more visible, actually, the divide in certain ways.
So all of this digital immersion is going on. It's been going on for a very long time. Cloning and all this sort of crap. And as I've said before, you know, if they were able to immerse you into the mainframe, would you know you were even in there? Would they be able to do it and have you not know it? I've speculated on some of the people who just died suddenly from the jab and stuff like this. The graphene and the mRNA and all the stuff that they put into them. I've speculated before, you know, you're an electrical being. If they're able to change your DNA, change the antenna in your body so that your signal that is you goes to their mainframe, because if they come along with a PCR and they grab your DNA, they put it in their Cray computer, their biological computer, they can now harvest that frequency from the field and they give you this injection which changes your signal, tunes it to their mainframe. Now your consciousness goes to their board before it goes to your body. Is that how they've been doing these sorts of things? And I've speculated before, when people just die suddenly, do they know they've even died, or have they simply gone into the mainframe and they don't even know it? It's just an interesting thing to think about. How consciousness can be captured that way and put into a digital world. Now, recently I saw an experiment that someone sent me of a fruit fly, and they actually stole the consciousness of the fruit fly and they put it in a virtual world, and the fruit fly consciousness didn't know that it was in a virtual world. It still carried out the same normal functions of a fruit fly.
In March 2026, a company called Eon Systems did something that should scare the fuck out of anyone paying attention. They took the complete brain map of a fruit fly, all 139,000 neurons and 50 million synaptic connections, and uploaded it into a computer. They didn't train it, they didn't program behaviours. They dropped that living brain wiring into a virtual body inside a physics simulation, using Mujoko and Neuromech Fly. Then they placed virtual food in front of it. The digital fly walked over on its own, tasted the food, and started eating. It also groomed itself when it got dusty. This is the first time a complete biological brain has been fully separated from its original body and made to live, sense, and feed inside a simulation. They have now proven that a consciousness can be taken out of its physical form and kept running perfectly inside a constructed reality with zero loss of function. This isn't a toy. This is the proof of concept for the next stage of the farm. If they can do this with a fly in 2026, how long until they start doing it with something bigger? They're learning how to keep souls alive and functional after the body dies. The reincarnation trap just got a software update.
Now that's kind of interesting, don't you think? The fact that they would be sharing that type of research with us. They're showing you, yes, we can capture consciousness and we can put it in a virtual world. So the question is, have they already done that? Are we already in a virtual world? And if so, how many layers down the fractal are we? Interesting stuff to think about. I mean, all hypothetical, of course. And you can just write it all off as the babblings of a crazy person. But hey, there's a lot of really weird stuff going on, folks. That picture on that account with the name of the would-be assassin, alleged would-be assassin, and Trump's arm up, being able to be superimposed over that image accurately, and for that to be posted in 2023. I mean, unless that account was somehow hacked and created in the last week, then how is that there if this timeline is normal, if everything is as we think it is, if the earth is as we think it is, and this reality is as we think it is? How are things such as the Mandela effect possible? And it's interesting, you know, all of this stuff with the war and all of these things and the horrible, horrible treatment of the Palestinian people, the ongoing genocide, the trauma that the whole human race has been put through in the last 2.5, 3 years, or really in the last 20 years, 25 years since 9/11. I mean, it's been horrendous. It's really been horrendous. But this smart grid just continues to roll out and come online through the whole thing. And we're getting to the point now with all of this AI and all this stuff coming online, that the lines between reality and the synthetic are becoming more and more blurred. You don't know that anything you're seeing online anymore is real.
The park bench waits, but you're not there. I sit alone in the autumn air. Leaves fall slow like the tears I hide. They know the ache I feel inside. I hear the echoes of us, still laughing, footsteps in the silence overlapping. I call your name, but it fades in the breeze. Memories linger, but time won't.
The AI is just getting so good. I mean, we knew it was good a year ago when we started talking about this, and now look at it a year later, it's just unbelievable. And what's it going to be like in another 2 years, in another 5 years? How are you going to know? Like I've said before, it excludes all type of video evidence. How are you going to be able to know anything that is released in the Epstein files is true? Any of the videos are real? There's plausible deniability with pretty much everything now. And this is one of the reasons I think they've let us back on YouTube as well. I mean, I've often wondered why have they let us back on YouTube? People like me, people, you know, a lot of people speaking truth. I think even David Icke is probably back on YouTube. A lot of people are back on YouTube. Why? Well, of course, there's the whole data mining. They want to know who the listeners are. They want to know who's watching the videos. I got banned from YouTube for a week, by the way. I got a strike against my channel. I got banned for a week for a video. What is it called? A storm is coming. Something like that. But they said it was misinformation, so they gave me a strike. Apparently having an opinion of anything that isn't acceptable by the mainstream is misinformation. God knows what I spoke about. I have no idea. I'd have to go back and watch the video. They never really gave me a reason. They just said misinformation. So that's one strike against your channel and you cannot upload for 1 week. I'm still banned from X. I cannot respond to any posts or post anything on X until I think May 14th. So that's kind of interesting as well. But I think one of the reasons they gave us our YouTube channels back is because, of course, they want to track and trace everybody who's watching our stuff. But also they want to get as many samples of people like me as possible. Because soon, pretty much all of it's going to be AI. And I think they're using us to train the AI. And they want the AI to get a good understanding of how the truth movement thinks and works and operates. This is one of the reasons I don't use AI to do anything. Like occasionally I'll make an image in Grok or something like that. I'll make a thumbnail for one of my videos. I think I've made like four or five AI thumbnails for my videos so far. Generally, I just find images on Google Images and I blend stuff together in Photoshop and I make my own thumbnails. That's what I've done for the last 15, 20 years. It's only like four or five of them I've actually made in Grok. But I've never asked a question or had a conversation with AI. I've never got AI to write an article or anything for me or to tell me how to do anything. I've looked up an instruction manual. If I don't know how to operate a camera or I don't know how to do something, I'll go and watch a YouTube video on it or I'll look up an instruction manual on how to do it. If I want to find something out, I'll go and use a search engine, usually Brave or something like that. I mean, I still use Google sometimes, but very rarely. Sometimes I use it just to see what results it'll give me compared to something like Brave or Yandex. So it's useful for that, to see what people are being fed. And it's useful to look at mainstream news as well, to see what people are being fed, see how the agenda is moving forward, you know. But that's about it. But I think that soon all content's going to be AI. And like I said before, I mean, if I drastically change in my message, then you'll know I've been replaced. But I think you're going to see new truth people come into being who aren't actually people. Some of the most popular singers now, apparently some black singer, some black blues singer, is AI. So many people are not real people anymore. And it's becoming more and more difficult to tell them apart. And like with what they just showed you with the fruit fly and all that, I mean, if they were to move you into a false reality, would you know it? And when they make this reality so ugly, well, that reality becomes more attractive for a lot of people, a lot of young people, certainly. They don't want the ugliest of this world. They want to be able to go and just live in that fake world because it's so much better than what they see around them. We're in such crazy times. We really are. Which is why it's become so important for people to reconnect with themselves, reconnect with who or what they are. Now, the world is going to change into something dramatically different to what it is, no matter how you look at it. And people are kind of being forced into it, like forced into compliance. Like I've said before, through COVID, you had a choice. You didn't want to comply with the masks, didn't want to comply with the lockdowns. That's all fine. You could do that. But with this, you're kind of being forced into it because with the shortages that they're generating, well, if they get you into digital currency, because of course they're going to have to, because they can't run the banks, because they can't have this and they can't have that, because there's no fuel, so they can't power the civilization the way they used to be able to, so everything's got to change. And of course there's so much corruption and so much this and so much that and so much hardship, so just to make sure everybody's safe and of course the children are protected, everything's going to have to go digital because it's the only way we can protect you. This is the way they're going to play this. And once it all goes that way, like I've said before, I mean, if it gets to the point where I've got to surrender my biometrics and stuff in order to keep a cell phone, well, that's all very well. But what about when I have to give my biometrics to travel and to buy airline tickets, and that all becomes tied to digital currency and digital bank accounts and your online ID, and they don't like what you've said. They don't like some of the things you've said, so they just switch you off. They cancel all your finances, shut you out of your bank accounts, don't let you travel, catch you in that no man's land area between countries where you can be picked up by any government and rendered anywhere. I've often said to people the most dangerous place in the world to be is the international section in an airport when you are between borders. Once you pass through customs, you're in the international section in an airport or crossing a land border or anything, there's that gap between borders where you go through one customs and you walk through the other customs. In that area, you are in no man's land and you can be picked up by anybody. And that's the most dangerous place in the world to be because you have no rights in that area because you're not in any country. So you're not under any country's jurisdiction and you can't claim legal remedy or legal rights under any type of jurisdiction. So what happens when it's all tied together? Then it becomes very difficult to travel. It becomes very difficult to use your bank account. This is why you're going to need things like gold and silver. You're going to need things like, I guess, cryptocurrency. But even with cryptocurrency, how do you get your cryptocurrency if your biometrics are banned and you're not able to log online? I guess you've got to have someone doing that for you, someone that you trust. Your wife or spouse or son or daughter or father or mother or somebody. But I've spoken of it like for so many years, how they're creating this digital barrier between you and reality. And you can see just how all-encompassing this is going to be and how they're able to bring it in through this whole manufactured situation of scarcity they've just contrived in the Persian Gulf. Nobody wants the electric cars. Well, there's not going to be any fuel. What are you going to do? If you've got to get to work, then you're going to need an electric car. You're going to need to travel on government-approved electric transport, public transport. You're going to need to clock on and clock off biometrically because you need your money, and you're going to get your money in digital credits because that's all there's going to be. And if you don't do that, well, you're not going to be able to live in the house that you live in. Because even if you own your house, you don't own it. You're still paying rates on it, and all this is going to be digital. Your electricity that they charge you for, you're going to have to pay for this, it's all going to be digital. How do you do that if you've got no credits from working your job because you're refusing to comply with the digital system? So this is how they play it. And they're going to get the population down to a manageable level. And through the hardship that's coming, and there is a lot of scarcity coming, folks, there is. Prices are going to go up. So homelessness is going to go up. Food is going to become very, very scarce. You're going to have lots of people die off. You know, there was Iranians. There was millions of Iranians were actually starved to death around the beginning of the 1900s as well, because Britain cut off food to Iran. So this has always been one of their favorite methods. They did this with the so-called potato famine when they starved out the Irish. They did it with Holodomor when they took food away from the Ukrainians between 1932 and 1933. And they also did it to the Iranians back in the beginning of the 1900s, beginning of the 20th century. And I can't remember the number, but it was millions of people died of starvation in Iran because of this. I honestly can't remember the number, but it was done by England. And I only just found out about that the other day. But yes, starvation has always been one of their favorite methods of depopulation. And they're going to create a lot of hardship, a lot of starvation, and you're probably going to see a lot of areas kind of go dark as well. I mean, communication could drop out because of electricity dropping out. So it may not be easy to convey information to people. Of course, you can't be telling people that anyone's dying in your area, because that could be construed as disinformation and you may get your YouTube channel taken down or whatever. So they can work at things this way as well. But I mean, they can achieve a lot under cover of darkness, and who knows where this is going to go. But all this is going to create so much scarcity and so much hardship for people that you're going to see situations of civil unrest and at least social discontent, which of course is going to create the need for more police activity, more laws, more legislation, more control. So everything plays into the same agenda. It always does. It always plays into the same agenda with everything they do, folks. So, you know, in that situation, well, how do you not comply? Like I've said before, it depends on how far you want to go, how much of this you're prepared to go along with and how much you're not. I've often said, get your money in gold and silver, or get it in real estate, something that you own. Even real estate, I mean, sure, you don't completely own it, but it is real and it is something that you can sell at the end of this and get whatever currency you need to get out of whatever position you're in and get to somewhere safe should that need arise. It's a good way of like storing finances, like a land bank. Gold and silver is another good way of storing finances. And cryptocurrency, but like I said, how are you going to access your crypto if your biometrics is banned from accessing the internet? And depending on how crazy it gets, like I've said, go out and start camping and start getting used to living in the country and start getting used to foraging and just learning how you can live off the land. Have like the ultimate backup plan should you need to do such a thing. It's just good skills to have, and it's just good stuff to know. So, yeah, what can I say? But I think that's about all I've got to say. Anyway, folks, I mean, a bit of a ramble. Like I said, I mean, it's just the same news that's always happening. This whole conflict with Iran is still going on. Israel is doing disgusting, disgraceful things, executing traumatizing Palestinian prisoners. They let a Palestinian prisoner out the other day, and this guy was a press agent, and he was quite a big, healthy man when he went in there. He came out like he'd lost half of his weight. The amount of torture that goes on in these Israeli prisons is absolutely disgusting and disgraceful.
الآن أنا وزني 60 كيلو جرام فقدت هذا الوزن بسبب الظروف الاعتقالية الصعبة والأوضاع المأساوية الآن السجون تعتبر جهنم الحقيقية مقبرة للأحياء بصراحة ظروف ظروف صعبة وقاسية، الأسرى بيعانوا بكل إشي، لا يوجد طعام جيد، الطعام سيء جدا، يعني القطة بكفيهاش الأكل اللي بيأكلوه الأسرى، لا يوجد قلم، دفتر، ورقة، لا يوجد بيضة. أنا أول مرة بشوف شكل اليوم على التلفون، مش قادر شو أقول لكم، أنا مش مصدق أساساً إن اليوم تم الإفراج عني من السجون بعد هذا الواقع المرير وهي الظروف المأساوية.
قاموا باقتحام البيت، فجروا البداية باب البناية ثم باب البيت، ودخلوا تفتيش كامل لكل البيت، تدمير المحتوى جميع الغرف، ثم تحقيق ميداني مع الوالد. استمر التحقيق ما يقرب النص ساعة تقريبا، ما بين 20 دقيقة نص ساعة. تحقيق ميداني، عدة تفاصيل ما قدرنا نوصل لإشي منها، يعني كان في صياح، من ثم قاموا باقتياده لجهة غير مجهولة، طبعا جردوه من ملابسه.
احنا كنا داخلين نصور عملية الجيش
صار
فجأة واحد اطلق النار علينا، ما طلبوش منا نطلع، ما طلبوش منا نوقف، اطلقوا النار علينا، الصف الاولى اصابتني، الصف الثاني اصابت شيرين، وقتلوها بدم بارد لانهم هم قتلين بس متخصصين بقتل الانسان الفلسطيني.
Everybody needs to withdraw all ties from this country and realize that these people are the ones who are destroying all of our countries through mass migration and everything they're doing. Setting up their own little enclaves in there, like they've done in Ukraine, like they're doing in Mexico, like they're doing in New York, and not letting outsiders in. Setting up their own police forces, their own areas of protection, while allowing the world to basically decay around them. And it's all being done deliberately. I mean, that's the root cause of the whole problem. And that needs to be addressed. But how do you address that? We've been screaming out about it for years. Trump's certainly not going to do it. Trump's been doing everything he can to distract from that issue, building his gaudy ballroom, fake assassination attempts. They're going to continue this whole bullshit with Iran as well, continue breaking down the supply chain. Iran has also got a lot of really beautiful old architecture they'd probably like to destroy. But by seeing the result of all this, I mean, I fully believe the Iranian government is fully in on this whole globalist thing as well. They haven't really been attempting to destroy Israel the way we hoped they were. There hasn't really been so much boom, boom, Tel Aviv as we would have liked to have seen. A lot of it has just been theatrics. And again, a lot of it has been to distract from all of this smart shit that they're rolling out beneath all of this. All the graphene, all the stuff they've sprayed on everybody, all the smart dust, all about leading you into the mainframe, folks. Capturing your consciousness, soul harvest. That's what this is about. That's what this has always been about. And this food shortage and the civil unrest that's going to come from it and the control lockdown that's going to come as a necessity from that is all leading towards the same thing. And it'll have the added bonus of giving them a greatly reduced population at the end of it all. So yeah, hold on to your hats, folks. Have a backup plan. And hey, enjoy the show. Enjoy the ride. No stake in the outcome. I'm kind of glad, like I've said before, I'm glad to be here for the end of it all, just to be able to watch it all happen. I still hope to be able to travel to Europe later in the year. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to. They're talking about jet fuel being greatly limited in Europe. And of course, we know they don't even need jet fuel. It's all a scam. All they need is kerosene to start the engines and to land the aircraft. The engines fly themselves. They require no fuel to fly. It's all running on compressed air. That's how jet engines work. But this is the way they're playing it. So this is the way they will play it. And so we should expect that. But hey, it would be nice to get to Europe and see my friends. And I'm just kind of playing it by ear. I mean, if it happens that I were to go to Europe and get there for Liverpoolco, and then suddenly flight stopped and I wasn't able to get out of Europe for a while, well, I would just assume that, okay, the universe wants me to be in Europe for a while. Same as anywhere. If I happen to go to the United States and flight stopped while I'm there, I'll just assume that the universe wants me there for a reason. Everything happens for a reason, folks, and I'm so open to just going with whatever happens, because that's the way I've always lived my life. Like I said before, I mean, playing in bands and living this transient lifestyle, being in different towns every day, every week, every month for most of my life, it's kind of prepared me for all this. I have no stake in anywhere I am. I can make it work. It's all just part of the journey. But I can appreciate that it's probably difficult for a lot of people to view things that way. But you need to just have backup plans, like I've said. Learn some bushcraft. How can it hurt? You might not need it, but hey, it's an enormous amount of fun, even if you don't need it. And it's a great thing to do with your kids. And who knows, like 50 years from now, well, maybe things will turn pear-shaped and your kids will go, wow, that stuff my dad taught me 50 years ago when I was a kid, I need those skills right now. It's just great to know this sort of stuff. Have backup plans. And don't depend on being able to survive in the city, if that's where you are. Have a means of getting out of a city so that you're not locked into that grid. Because once the supermarket shelves dry up and the food stamps come out, I mean, this is going to be worse than the Great Depression. It's already worse. I mean, it's already five times worse than any type of energy shortage the world has ever experienced in history. It's just that people haven't seen it yet because the oil ships have still been flowing. But they all stop about now. And now is May. And May is the last month for planting. And the fertilizers haven't arrived. I mean, April, May is when you plant your crops in the Northern Hemisphere. The fertilizers haven't arrived, so the crops haven't been planted, so there's not going to be any harvest in September. So you're going to see all this unfold over the next few months. And like I said, they want you over the war by then. They want you to see the war as old news. This has got nothing to do with the war. Well, maybe it has. It's because Iran bombed all those places. Now, it's all been set up deliberately, folks. And ultimately, it's about depopulation and dependency. They want you dependent on the government, because one of the things this is doing is it's removing your ability for any self-sustainability at all, unless you are someone who's already living in the country, already growing your own food, and already has a considerable amount of bush skills. Then it's going to be very difficult for you to get through this without being dependent upon the system in some way. And if you are dependent upon the system, well, we want your biometrics. We want access to your bank account. We want access to your social media. We want access to every single aspect of your life so that we know everything about who you are, what you're thinking, what you're doing, who you're seeing, every single thing about you. Then we'll decide whether you're allowed to participate in the system and how much you're allowed to participate in the system. And as long as you're a good little slave and do what you're told, we'll let you have a little bits of trinketry to get through, but your life will belong to us. That is what all of this is about. So, personally, I'm not going to do that. You know, if it gets to the point where I just got to step outside it, and even if I end up getting arrested or whatever, well, that will just be the way it goes. Just the next part of the journey for me. I'm never going to do anything which will submit myself to that type of control, that level of control, that level of interference in my own personal and spiritual growth and experience in this reality. And I will certainly not allow myself to be hijacked and moved into the mainframe the way they're doing with fruit flies, which gives you an idea of what the vaccines and the graphene and the 5G and the smartphones and all of this sort of stuff is about. The smartphones, as I've showed you before, these are a gateway device. They get the graphene into you. They get this stuff into you. Then the smartphone is what they use to track you, GPS track you. They work out your biometric signature on the X-band radar, and then they can put frequencies into the smartphone, which will then put frequencies into your body. You'll start having thoughts and things, and they can trigger certain substances in your body. Like if they've injected some sort of graphene system into you that's programmable, and you've got a smartphone on you, they can put a frequency into your body which will activate the graphene to perform a pre-programmed task. This is stuff that I was talking about back in 2023, around Christmas time, when I was talking about the IoT and the IOB, the Internet of Bodies, how they're linking everybody up. It's what a lot of the chemtrails are about. It's what all the vaccines are about. It's what the nanotech and the food is about. And especially in American food, all of this stuff is controlled and contrived, and it's all about leading you into this system. So the cell phone is the gateway device. This is one of the reasons I never carry one on me. I've never got a cell phone on me. You know, I've got one because I need one to do certain things, like have a bank account and to travel on airlines and things like that. But it just stays in my bag. It never leaves home. It never goes out with me when I travel. Even when I'm traveling, it stays with me in the hotel, and that's it. It stays in my bag. It never goes anywhere with me. When I'm staying with my friends in Croatia, they send me messages and they go, did you get that, Max? They go, how do I have got it? I'm in the car with you, you know. My cell phone is back at my place and I don't look at the cell phone anyway. I get the messages on my laptop, which is back at the accommodation. So I just don't ever carry any of these devices with me. They're all gateway devices, folks. I mean, they can track and trace people anyway now by biometrics and probably through the X-band radar and stuff as well, because I mean, everybody's got graphene in them. Everybody's got nanotech in them. Even people who eat healthy and avoid all this stuff, because we're breathing it because it's in the chemtrails. So, yeah, I mean, it's important to see all this, but it's important to also see that now all of this is designed to take away your humanity, and all of this is what the ultimate goal is. And a lot of what we're seeing in the world, even with this war, is theatrics to keep you distracted, because this stuff's been rolling out at breakneck speed underneath it all while this war's been going on. Same as through COVID. Everyone was distracted with viruses and pandemics and blah, 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 and death counts and blah, blah, blah. And they're putting up all the 5G stuff. And they're putting in all the surveillance system everywhere, putting in all the cameras. They're doing the same thing through this war as well. Trump's new executive order, which forces you to give up your biometrics in order to keep your bank account, keep the children safe, of course, and to stop illegal aliens, which is what we told you all the illegal aliens were all about, you know, securing the borders. It's not about keeping America safe. It's about controlling people, and it always has been. So through this whole war with Iran, they managed to get their whole depopulation grid in place. It looks organic. It looks believable. It's going to break down a supply chain. Millions of people are going to starve, and it's going to be believable that it was an organic thing that just happened because of the war, wasn't planned, wasn't us. They're going to crash the US economy through this as well, and it will be Trump's fault. The mad orange man did all this. Oh my God, we lost the petrodollar, blah, blah, blah. He'll be remembered as the worst president ever. He doesn't give a shit. He's made $4 billion over the last 12 months. He doesn't care how much he's belittled through any of this. He's like nearly 80 anyway. You know, he's just about gone. He doesn't give a shit. And you notice through the whole shooting as well, he didn't give a shit. I mean, Melania looked up like with that look of horror on her face, and Trump was just looking at her. He just didn't give a shit because he knew it was all happening. Whole thing was contrived, folks. So he doesn't care. And what this is about is just moving us in to this whole system. And the US is going to go down. The economy is going to collapse. It's going to lose the petrodollar. And it's going to look like it was organic because they had this madman president who just did everything wrong. And oh my God, he's the worst thing that ever happened. And oh my God, so many people died because the supply chain collapsed. Same thing because this madman president started this war. It all looks organic. Trump's simply a paid actor doing what he was told to do, folks. And yeah. And through it comes the smart grid. Smart grid in a vastly depopulated world. And like I said, all I can suggest you do is enjoy the ride. At least you are aware and know what's happening. Don't try to plan for any type of thing that's going to thrive through this future. Like, you know, if you're going to be starting a business or anything, what I'm saying, I mean, I just pause that for a little minute. I just pause that and wait for the next couple of years and just see how things pan out. Maybe if you've got money, put it into something real that you can access again at the end of all this, like gold and silver or land, whatever. Store it somewhere safe where it can weather the coming storm. I mean, sure, it is, if you want to invest it and make money through it and all that, I mean, go and check out some of Jeff's stuff. He'll give you ideas on all that. I got no clue. But don't leave it in the bank. That would be a terribly unwise thing to do. And just see where you are through all this, at the end of it all. But personally, I'm not going to be complying with it. I'll probably be here for a little while on this ranch. I don't know what the future holds. But I am going to work at getting a place built here. And so I'll probably be here maybe for the duration. Who knows? But even if I'm not, then I'll have a place here that is a home base. So I've got a home base somewhere in the world, which we all need. Even if I go away and go somewhere else for a couple of years, I'll still have a home base here, which is a great thing. So I'm definitely going to do that. But who knows where I'll be? I mean, it's all still just part of the ride. So, and I have no stake in the outcome of any of this. I'm just grateful to be here for the big finale. And that's kind of the attitude you've got to have through this, folks. You can't place too much stake in any of it. Realize that if you couldn't get through this, you wouldn't have come here for the experience. And this is the main event. So, hey, enjoy it. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. Same thank yous I always give. Thank you to the kind comments. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for anybody who makes a contribution. Thank you for all the kind thoughts and good energy that you send me. It really does help. It really does. Anyway, folks, I hope to be sending some of that back through these videos as well. I know a lot of it is negative information, but hey, I try to keep it empowering. I think it's best to know what's coming, at least to be able to examine what's coming, at least to be able to weigh up the options of where we think we might be going and to prepare for that rather than ignore it. And like I said, I don't have any stake in any of this. I mean, this is a temporary vessel. This is a temporary experience. So if the human race destroys itself, it's not on me. I offered a better option. And I'm just happy to be witnessing the whole thing happening. I think it's an incredibly important time in human history. And I'm kind of happy to be here for it. And I think that's why, like I said, the universe has kept me in this whole transient type of lifestyle, just to prepare me for this. So I would be ready for it. So I'd be able to maybe bring you some of this information and bring it to you in a calm manner. But yeah. Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I'll bring you another one soon. I might be traveling again. I've got to go to Arizona. I want to see my friend Rachel, see how she's doing. I've had her on the Tesla machine since November. She's had breast cancer, so I want to go and check up on her. So I'm going to be doing a bit of traveling in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully, I will be able to bring you a video while I'm away. If not, then I'll bring you one as soon as I can. I'll be back on X probably May 14th. And I think I have a couple of interviews to do between now and then anyway, so you'll get them and we'll work it out. But anyway, take care. Until I speak to you next, folks, in Lakesh. Hey, Nacha.
Hello. Hello, soul. How you doing? How you doing? What's happening, Nacha?
You just kicking back, are you, darling? You kicking back? You want to say hello? You just kind of kicking back.
know that thing they put in your tap water and your toothpaste? They call it fluoride, and they say it's good for your teeth, but it's actually a neurotoxin. Well, there's this fruit called tamarind, and what it does is when you eat it, it actually removes fluoride from your body. And when you peel it, kind of like a pistachio, you're gonna be stuck with this. So this is the pulp. You wanna make sure you get these veins away from it as well. And all you have to do from here is eat it. But if you wanna get fluoride out of your body from years of drinking tap water or whatever it is, get some tamarind. It's like $5.99 a box. They come in all shapes and sizes. There's a big one right there. But nature's pretty cool.